This Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! Yes. Mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and live feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
Oh, yes, dig those smooth, cool sounds from 1972. You found the Motormouths here. Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show here on the island of Long and other places. And we're happy to bring you more automotive content and maybe answer a few questions. Myself and the man who can only make friends over a rotten chainsaw, Mr. Chris Switzer. How are you, Chris?
Once I unmute myself, I am doing well.
I never know if it's on this side, that side. What side is the fault lying on? It's your side.
Okay. I know. It's so funny because now I'm doing like minor adjustments here on my end to see if I can enhance my golden tones as well.
No, you got it going good. It's all fine. It's all good.
I know. It's so funny. Popular automotive talk shows are so overrated. I don't know. I like our simple.
Yeah.
Simple audio problems that we try and solve here. With my voice alone, I've literally been hoarse all week.
Yeah.
And the horses are not too happy about it either.
No.
But
hey, listen, we'll plod it through. Yeah.
Huh?
We'll plod through it and make sure.
Yes.
Listen,
you know, go ahead. Go. You go.
Like I say, I'm dealing with my own maladies on this end. So I'm glad to see that you have one or two because at least it balances out, which is something that we don't always do. So
I must admit, your maladies did not stop you from making a fine, upstanding road machine out of your FJ Cruiser.
Yeah.
I am looking at these fabulous pictures here on Instagram on Real_MotormouthRadio. And it is a fine looking road machine you got going. Look at that deep black paint.
You know, I'll tell you what happened. And you're right. That is on Instagram. It's also on Twitter. You can follow us on the web on Twitter and Facebook at Motormouth Radio. And as Chris said, it's Real_MotormouthRadio on Instagram. I was out to lunch with our good friend Kilowatt Kevin on Friday. We both found ourselves, well, Kevin's retired, so he has every day off, and I found myself with a day off, so I said, let's go to lunch, and we did. I drove the FJ, and it's funny, when I pulled up to pick him up, he says, what, you got a gas tanker following you? You know, like a gas truck following you? I'm like, no, this is just a card swipe. When you get in, just swipe your card, and we'll... So anyway, we went and had lunch, and it was a beautiful afternoon when I got home and said, you know, the truck needs a clean, and it's got that winter sheen of muck on it and crap. So I said,
yeah, I see that winter sheen of muck out on my driveway right now. So,
well, I will tell you, I didn't do a before and after picture, and I should have.
Oh,
but the roof of the truck, I park it under a tree in front of my house, and you can't see it because it's tall. It is white, but the white was, it was very, there was a lot of black, like it almost looked like mold, like when you get mold in the bathroom. And I had to use one of those scrubbing sponges with the soap to actually break off. It took, I spent at least an hour on just the roof of that truck.
Wow.
And literally,
let me ask you, you're not as height challenged as you think, but How do you get up there? What do you use? Look at you laughing. What do you use to actually stand on to access the roof of that thing?
Okay, I was going to say to clean the roof, one must be on the roof. Unless now, let me say that now, if I was to go wash the truck today. Right. If I had a telescoping, there is a telescoping wash brush that you could use. I could do it with that because I could stand on the rear step and get most of the, I could stand on the running board and get the sides. So if I was just washing it, I could do that with, and I do actually bring out like a little three-step stool that I use.
Oh, okay.
But now.
Yeah, because I'm too lazy to do that on mine. I will actually open a rear door and step on the kick panel, the sail panel, the
rocker panel.
The rocker panel.
Yeah.
I will step on that and clean that quarter of the roof.
Yeah.
Like if it's the rear door, I'm cleaning from mid roof all the way to the hatch.
Right.
And on the passenger side, if it's the passenger side door I have opened, or obviously driver's side, and I do all four doors, I do all four corners that way, and I avoid the step stool. But the step stool would probably be so much easier because you could almost kill yourself opening up the door,
right,
grabbing a hold of the roof
and
with one hand and wiping with the other. Yeah, it's always a recipe for disaster, well, that's for sure.
Like I said, the roof was so grungy that in this case, I climbed up. I opened the rear door and climbed up into the back bed of the truck. That only gets me so far. Then I actually had to literally close the door, and I climb up on the spare tire, which is mounted on the back door, and I climb onto the roof. And I have to, like I said, to clean the roof, you must be on the roof. And that was a good hour's worth of work just cleaning that roof. And then the rest of the truck. But then, all the seams have a little bit of crud in it, so you got to get in there with a brush and clean the junk out of the seams. And I'll say this. I one of the guys from the FJ Club commented on how clean it was, and I said, "You know this. That truck has a lot of really intricate cuts and strafes and body lines that you don't really notice them until you have to. You never know a car until you have to wash and wax it, and then."
Yep.
Some of them are real easy. This one is really hard because there's all those intricate lines around the fenders and doors and recessed areas. So, I spent a good, I think, about 3 hours on it on Friday.
I believe it. Yeah, because it shows. It looks it. And you're just fortunate you're not a fat Italian man.
Well. Yeah. I don't know if I go that far.
Because you'd be punching holes in the roof or denting it at least.
Yeah, right. No, well, you got to know, too, if you're going to go on a roof for a truck, they're pretty well reinforced, but you stay toward the outsides, and that's where And one part I did kneel on, and I heard it go boom, it kicked in, but then when I backed off, it popped back up again. So
good.
But yeah, it is time, and like I've always said in the past, it's time to clean the nose of your vehicle, clean its nose. Everybody is having nasal problems, myself included. Get in there and get the leaves out of the cowl area. And, of course, this time of year is a good time to change the cabin air filter. That's another
good
one.
Good idea. Yeah, because it's amazing what you'll find pulling out a cabin air filter. It is amazing what you'll find.
I have posted pictures. In fact, Chassis John, our good friend Chassis John, sent last week, changed the air filter in his truck, and it was really a lot dirtier than he thought. And then I said, now go for the cabin filter, because I sent him a picture of the one in my own car, my Mazda 3, which was, it was really bad. But I've done a bunch of them at the shop as just service. And it's amazing what coagulates and ends up in that filter after a few years of not being serviced. And then you will see, I saw it in my own car, the AC felt colder. It just felt better, because now air is circulating through and it's not as, it's not clogged up with junk. That's the purpose of the filter, to take it out of the air.
Right. It's finally doing its job the way it's supposed to.
And the cabin filters now are not that expensive. And better yet, better than that, the most cabin air filters on the vehicles in my fleet and some of the ones I've worked on are easy to get at. It's usually right through the glove box. My Mazda 3 was a problem because that was in the early years of when they were using them, and it was kind of behind the center stack thing. You had to do a whole bunch. That one was a pain in the neck. It really was. But the one in the FJ, all the Toyotas I've worked on, and the Cruze even, you pull the glove box, there's another door in there, you pull it out, slide the door in, you're done. Very easy. You know, Walmart carries the filters. You know, you can get them for like, you know, between $4 or $8, something like that. You know.
And yeah, it's kind of funny because I'm sure what we're talking about now, dealerships don't want us to talk about, because I'm sure they charge an exorbitant amount of money to do a cabin air filter replacement. And it really is kind of easy. It doesn't take much. It's a flip through the owner's manual and you get the right size and swap it in, swap it out. You save yourself the fee of having it installed by someone else.
You know, it's funny.
And you go along your merry way. I mean, I think it's a smart idea. And cabin air filters are what? They're not a heck of a lot of money. Like you said, they're anywhere from $20 to $50. They're really, I mean, in comparison, they're really not a heck of a lot. And you're changing them every year?
Every season. I was at Tire Town on Friday. I saw a good friend, Joe Glogley, over at Tire Town, and I had to get an inspection on the FJ, and I had a tire I had to have fixed that I'll tell you about, because that was a head-scratcher. And he had his granddaughter, I think, working at the shop, and she was on the phones, and she was talking to the guy who runs the desk now. I don't know if she was on a call or on hold or not, but she was billing this guy. It was for an air and a cabin air filter. Mm-hmm. And the guy, I guess, came back and was complaining about the cost. And then she was they were talking about just that, the intricacies of billing for that job. Like, you know, I don't know how they set it up. I guess they probably go by a flat labor rate, if nothing else. You know,
sure.
But what do they give you for a cabin air filter? I mean, it's, you know, could be 15 minutes. Do they give you a half an hour for it? I don't know.
Well, it's always the case of you pay for your ignorance, right? If you know what to do, it takes a lot less time. If you have to research what you have to do, that obviously takes time. Does the customer pay for that? I would hope not, but sometimes they do. So, it's one of those things where you're paying the professional for what he knows.
I was at another friend's shop last week and saw the labor rate is now $130 an hour.
Wow.
So, you know, you want to pay half of that for a half hour service to a cabin air filter. Yeah, you're over $50. You're paying $50-$60 plus the filter. And they're like, what? Really? So, that may, you know what? If that makes one person go into their owner's manual and look and see how to do it, then good. Yeah, that's a good thing.
If it makes one more person listen to this wacky show, yes.
Right. So, I'll tell you this. During the week, I was out in the garage and doing a few things, and I have my Pontiac in the garage. It's undercover, and so you really you don't see it. But I noticed, like, I have it backed in, and the left, well, it would be the right front corner, which would be on my left side as I'm looking at it. Just for a second, I kind of caught it looked like a little low where the cover just, so I'm like, huh? I'm like, I couldn't have a flat tire. I mean, the car's sitting in the garage. So I lift the cover and I look under that side, and the tire is flat. I'm like, son, how'd that happen? Car's been out. I mean, it's been there all winter, so I think if I picked something up when I drove it last, it would have been flat a lot sooner, right?
Sure.
So I go around, I air it up, and I see, let's see what happens. So the next day it was good. Like 2 days later, boom, it's flat again. I'm like, okay. So I took the wheel off, and when I went to Tire Town to get my inspection, I brought the wheel. I said, let me have one of the tire guys look at it. Maybe it needs there's something going on. And I didn't even, I took it off. I loaded it in the truck, but I never really looked at it, because when I took it out of my truck and gave it to the guy at the shop, and he was rolling it, and he says, well, here's your problem. Now I saw the backside of the wheel, and there were two nice dents, like rim dents.
Oh, no way.
One wasn't so bad. The other one was pretty dramatic. And I said, whoa. I was like, I know that one of the wheels had a dent on the outside. I said, I never even looked at the inside. I'm like, that's obviously that happened last season. And I said, you got to be kidding me. I didn't feel it in driving. It wasn't enough to knock it off. But I said, wow. Now, okay.
What did you hit? Do you know what you hit? Do you
probably
remember?
Some kind of hole in the road, a pothole or something. Yeah, I mean, I don't aim for them, and I certainly avoid them with that car. Because of the low-profile tires, that's the problem. The low-profile is pretty stiff, but there's not a lot of it between the road and the rim. And so anyway, he said, listen, if you want, I can take a hammer to it. I can see if I could bang it out a little. And I said, have at it. I said, you know what? You're the professional. I have no problem with you doing what you do. Give it a shot. So it had been in my thought process for a while already, because I'm not 100% happy with the ride quality with those low-profile tires.
Okay.
Yet it does give me a wide tire that I, a wider tire on the front than I ever was able to put in the rear of that car, believe it or not, because the rim is taller. And then there's clearance issues when you turn the wheel. So my thought has been, and now is again, these are 17-inch wheels with a 245/40 17 tire.
Got it.
My thought is if I go to a 16-inch rim, I can then use a taller sidewall tire because the ratio will stay the same.
Right.
But I don't want to just go by the book and go by the numbers and then buy two rims and buy two tires and find out that they hit the back of the wheel well. So now I'm in that area of like, okay, I got to try and find somebody who maybe has tires mounted that are around that size who will let me put them on my car and see if they work. So I got to
See if they fit.
I got to poll the friends network is what I got to do. Because otherwise you're taking a real shot in the dark just spending money, which is kind of silly.
Yeah. Yeah. And then if they don't work, then what do you do with them? Do you send them back? Can you send them back?
No.
Do you go through the trouble of reselling them? I mean,
well, that's
do you really
it.
Want to do
you
that?
Know, once the tires are mounted and balanced, yeah, now they're yours. Same thing with the rims.
Yeah.
And it's just too much to go through. So
it's funny because I had that, that Mitsubishi Galant that had 16 inch wheels. And there was a time I was on the belt heading home. It was like midnight hour, and I hit something bang on the parkway in the slow lane, and I knew something was wrong. I got off, and there was along the service road there was a gas station that was still open, and there must have been about a dozen guys in there,
yeah,
all changing their tires at the same time. I was one of them. I pull in. I'm like, hey, anybody got a jack? Anybody got a chuck?
Yeah. I'll tell you right now on Long Island, the roads, the LIE is a disaster. I haven't been on it, but there's been news reports every week. Potholes all over the place. I've seen them on some of the roads here where I am too on the island. And like I've always told every driver and family, you know, if you see one, avoid it. Don't hit it. Go around it. Because even on a regular car with, you know, with bigger tires,
if you can, within reason, if you can.
Sure.
Because you don't want to go around it and end up in someone else's lane.
No.
So, you know, there are times where I'll try and avoid them at all costs. But if you got cars on either side of you, you're going in.
Right. Well, let's go in now. Let's go in, take a dive, and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How you doing today?
Hey, Skip. How's everything?
What's good, up, Skip? Good. I want to weigh in on a little on this tire issue because I've just been going through a similar scenario with the Nomad. As you know, I've been going through a whole new rebuilding of the car. And as that's being done, one of the things that came up when he was under the car and looking under the rear, he happened to turn to the side and look at the inside wall of the passenger tire and saw that it was kind of chewed up.
Oh, okay.
Well, it turns out that there was some metal inside the wheel well that was never finished properly, and they had added a piece, and they used some nut and bolts, and it was sticking out, and I could wax nostalgically for days on all of the garbage that we're finding. But in that process, I came to the realization I had to replace the tires. Now, the tires that are on the car are a BF Goodrich KDW G-Force tire in a 285 40 ZR18 on the rear. So I checked, and they're obsolete. They don't sell anymore. You can't get them, blah, 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 blah. So the next tire that was recommended to me was a Nitto, the NT555 G2.
Mm-hmm.
I checked them out, and they had the 285 40 R18, which I bought from Nitto. Had them shipped up to New York, where the car is. And when he gets these tires, he puts them in front of the tires that are on the car, and they're actually wider than the 285s that are on the car.
Uh-huh.
So now I have an issue where I have very minimal clearance to begin with. Those tires are not going to fit. So speaking to what you said, Chris, now you decide, what are you going to do? Do you send them back, whatever? And I says, all right, we'll send them back. I'll get a refund. I'll get the other ones, and we'll go on. Well, yeah, that sounds great, and it looks good on paper until you realize that to send them back, it was going to be like over $100 a tire just to send them back.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Do you want to go through that trouble?
Exactly. So now, I eat the tires. I got to try and either find another application for them with the other cars in the fleet or liquidate them, whatever, and I wound up putting them on, what the hell, not Facebook up there.
Craigslist?
Craigslist, yes, thank you. And very little movement on them, so I'm not hopeful that I'm going to sell them anyway. But that being said, I had to repurchase the tires, and I bought a 275 4018, which, believe it or not, almost has the same footprint and tread as the 285 from the BF Goodrich.
Yeah.
So they're going to work fine without any issues. They've been mounted and balanced, and they're on the car, and there are no clearance issues whatsoever. But now I want to match my front tires because I had the BF Goodrich KDWs on the front. So now I want to get the Nitto for the fronts. Again, the Nitto NT555G2, I had a 215 on the front of the car. They don't have a 215 in the Nitto. They have a 225.
Yeah.
So I had to go to a 225/50ZR17 for the front. Right now, I'm not 100% sure if they're going to fit because I have those tires here with me in Florida. I had them sent here, and I'll put them on when I get the car back. But according to what he's told me with measurements and everything else, it looks like there shouldn't be any clearance issues with the turn radius or anything else. But it's amazing when you have to, you know, re-engineer these things and go to different sizes now. And again, like you said, Ray, you know, if you go to a different size rim, you can go to a higher profile or whatever. As long as you have the aspect ratio that you want with the height and the width and so forth, you know, you fall into those parameters.
Yeah, you just reminded me, Skip, of what happened. I had a set of, what did I have? My rear tires were M&H Racemasters. It was a street radial, a street slick, you know, a street rail tire.
And I almost thought of going that route now when I had to replace the tires, but I thought better of it.
I'll tell you what you'll find, because mine wore out. They had to be changed. And I said, okay. So I looked up the size. It was a 275/50/17. And there was one replacement. Well, I could get the M&Hs again, or I could buy the Nittos, the N55,
yeah,
which is what I bought. And
that seems to be the tire of choice right now for some reason.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's a great tire.
I know Tony put them on his Monte Carlo. I mean, on the Impala.
Yeah, they're great tires. I had them mounted on the rims, put them on the car. Right side, no problem. Left side, they were just about going to touch the inside of the. I had like some fender quarter panel issues. But what I did was I was able to get under there and massage it, and with a grinder, remove a little bit of metal and make the clearance. Now, the right side had no clearance issue whatsoever. It was only the left side.
Now, that was in the rear, you said?
That's in the rear, yeah.
Yeah, because that depends on the way where the rear is situated also when it's mounted.
Yep.
True. So you can have a little different clearance on one side and the other, and most people don't realize that. And I wound up having to have the wheel wells clearanced again, you know, cut back some to massage them just to be sure. I wanted to be sure. I actually asked them to get one of those inner bead rollers for the fender well, which he got a hold of, but with the Tri-5 Chevys, as you know, of course, the wheel wells are like eyebrows. They're not rounded, so it's almost physically impossible to use one of those rollers on the inner bead.
Right.
So he had to do it, you know, with a die grinder and whatnot and cut it back and massage it and then make it work and fit. So we are where we want to be now. Until I actually put some miles on it and bounce it around, but with new suspension components and everything else, I shouldn't have half the issues I was having before anyway. So I think I solved my problem, but again, until I actually get it out there and start tearing up the roads again, I won't know.
Yeah, you won't know. Well, we hope so. That's I'm fleshing mine out, and that's what everybody's doing. So
well, that's the joys of this. You know, you learn as you go. You find out. And that, like I said, the only bad part is like when you have to replace a part and you find out that you can't, after doing all the footwork and doling out of finding out what to do properly to get that to fit, now you can't replace it with the same thing. After doing all of that work, you have to redo it to find something new that will correspond and give you the same benefit of what you had to begin with. You know, that's the problem.
Constant work in progress. And that's why, Chris, I use you as an example all the time when I talk about this stuff and say, you know, But guys like Chris, who like to run them in stock form, never have these problems.
Yeah, and you know, I have that issue too. I mean, I have the both situations. So there's times where you sit back and look and say, you know, custom is great and all of that, and you have what you like, and you did it your way, but damn, it's so much easier to just get that turnkey car and go and not have any of those problems and issues. And
Exactly.
There's a lot to be said for both ways, I guess. Yep. You know, it's a matter of choice, and that's why I choose to have two of or different ones so I can go either way if I want, I guess.
Best of both worlds. Yep. Excellent. All right, Skip. Well, thanks for that thought. I'm sure that may follow us through the day here.
All right, guys.
All right. Talk to you again soon.
Be well.
Okay.
Be safe, Skip.
Take care, Chris.
All right, just like last week, we got on the side thing about the tools and those the Reed Print screwdrivers that followed throughout the week, Chris. And I got to say, if people want to find out, that was a show where I, you know, you've said this a lot of times, and I felt it last week. I learned a lot of stuff last week that I didn't know. I really did, and I did research afterwards. And if you go and check our website out, motormouthradio.com, you'll see all the upgrades. There is an article on the clutch head screws and their history. There's a link to the inductor, which we talked about on the show. Spotify's been updated.
And go listen to the show on motormouthradio.com. Oh, yeah. It was a good one.
It's right there. Spotify has been updated with all the music. And Motormouth Video on YouTube, if you go there, you'll see the videos of what we talked about. And there's little little clips like that. So so we're getting towards the bottom of the hour. You know what? Let's do some voodoo from you. Do how about the honor group of the hour? What do we got this week?
All righty, yes, sir. We do, of course. As you know, here at Motormouth Radio, we do that thing at the bottom of the hour called the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour, where we honor different individuals for different quirks and qualities that they all have. And this week is no different. If you keep any type of snack in your vehicle, you are part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. So what's in that console right now? A bag of chips? A stiff chocolate cookie? Well, is there a half-eaten chewy granola bar in there? It's got to be a chewy granola bar over a crunchy granola bar, since a chewy granola bar is crumb-free. Yes, that makes a difference. Crumb-free snacks are important for in-car consumption. So what's in the glove compartment? A bag of popcorn, a lumpy apple, a hardened box of dots, a melted candy bar, old cold French fries, those orange peanut butter crackers, well, they never go bad. Well, if you put anything directly into your mouth from any storage compartment in your vehicle, then you are part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. There you go.
Wow, you pulled out the stops on that one, let me tell you. You got a whole deli aisle worth of stuff on that.
They all can't be gems.
Crazy. Yeah, well, Cliff likes the peanut butter-filled pretzels. He likes those. And something else you may like, if you're awake and bumbling around in the morning on Sundays, have nothing else to do at 8:30 a.m., tune in this fine station to listen to the fine show called Jewish Talk. It's hosted by Rabbi Pearl. He's a great guy. He thinks in Jewish, but he speaks in English, and he features the best in Jewish talk and issues affecting the Jewish community and others, because there's some some crossover.
I can't come up with the word.
What you were going to say, right?
Right.
Exactly.
Denomination.
Non-denominational, right. A lot of crossover. So I know you, of course, know, and growing up in Brooklyn, you could have been Italian or Jewish and been in either house and just coexisted, right?
Same thing.
Exactly.
Guilt. Guilt is the driving force. It's the same thing.
And good food. So,
the statues are different, but it's the same thing.
So we throw up the banner. We got the big horn on top of the building here. We're telling everybody, come on, everybody, join us on Motormouth Radio and join us with our break, where we'll take care of a little bit of business, and we'll be back just in a few minutes with more fun and frivolity and answering your car questions if you'd like with Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. Keep it where you got it on 90.3 WHPC. Come on, everybody.
show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CARSTAR Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y si hablamos español.
More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
You're listening to the Motor Mouth.
Hello, gentlemen. You guys call yourself hot rodders. Come on, man.
I was waiting for you to learn how to trim my bonsai plant.
Motor Mouth.
Love the show and keep them coming.
You have to excuse me. I was just outside messing around with the car.
I'm reluctant to say I'm anything like you guys.
Motor Mouth.
But I am exactly like you guys.
I try and keep every old thing going.
Good show as usual.
Motor Mouth.
You guys are trouble.
I know you guys have your finger on the pulse of stuff.
I'll train staff of two will help.
Come on and ask and answer some car questions. I'm a fountain of useless knowledge.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Instructions are just another man's opinion, Ray.
Yeah, I talk to you guys when I need you. I appreciate you. I listen to you.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
I'll be glad to answer any questions for you I can.
You're indifferent because you glow in the dark, so it's all good.
Rob, can I ask you a question?
Sure, ask anything you want.
Motor Mouth!
Have you heard from Ray or Chris saying that this was going to be the best show ever in the history
of mankind?
No, you
see, it's funny because Ray will come in and say, well, Rob, this is going to be the greatest show
we've
ever done.
It's not Sunday morning until I'm sure.
And sometimes Chris...
Motor Mouth Radio is going to be the best show that was ever done.
And then Chris will sometimes joke that it's going to be the worst show they've ever done.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motor Mouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHPC.
Motor Mouth!
Hey you, get over here. Every Sunday, 12 to 1, you are going to tune in to hear the Motor Mouths, my friends Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. 90.3 FM, WHPC. You might learn something.
Oh yeah, we learned a little bit on that, and we learned that Chris can play a nasty cowbell still. He still has those your chops. I like that. Very good. You've been practicing.
Who knows? Hey, keep those cowbells where no one can see them.
Well, all right. And of course, that was our musical group for the week, which was we brought up at dinner last night. That was Humble Pie, and that song was called "Come On, Everybody." So,
hey, I got something to bring up. I'm going to try and get through this.
Use the garbage pail over there, because last time I made a mess on the console. It was really terrible. We got yelled at.
My cousin picked up a 2021 Nissan Rogue.
Oh.
And she's had it for about a year now, obviously, new vehicle. She said she had trouble putting it in reverse or into drive. She had trouble putting it into gear, and a warning light was steadily coming on the dash saying CVT malfunction, service immediately. So she made an appointment with the dealer, and the dealer told her it was going to be an expensive repair, but it was not going to be covered under warranty. Now she's thinking it's a new car. It should be covered under warranty. But she said it was, they told her that it was no fault from Nissan because they're considering it customer neglect. And she says, how? And they said that it was caused by spillage from the drink that was in the drink cup holder that's next to the shift gear.
Oh, boy.
And she's now complaining that maybe it was a poor design on Nissan's part for not making the area around the shift lever somewhat waterproof or putting some sort of plastic cover over it. And she is now going through some rigmarole with Nissan because she's basically saying, oh, you're telling me that you can't put a drink in the cup holder it may cause spillage because they said that they opened it up and found that there was dampness under the shift gear.
Boy,
so she's go She's going through this. We're going to hopefully get to the bottom of this.
You got
to
call the family Uncle Rocco and have him pay a visit over there. And
can you imagine?
The lawyer.
Yeah, it's. Well, I mean, it's chalking it up to another automotive poor design that you can't put a drink. I mean, don't get me wrong. I try really hard not to spill anything out of a cup holder. I kind of put stuff. Cups with lids, but you know the inevitable is going to happen. I mean, you do have a cup holder there. There's going to be spillage is expected.
Yeah, I guess. It just reminds me of my FJ when I got it and took it all apart, the interior that is, and found a literal deli floor in the bottom of the console area. There were pictures. I put them up on Instagram and Twitter and on Facebook. This guy before me had eaten every meal in that truck, and everything got down into that. Literally, the seeds, candy, there were chocolate chips, there was potato chips, cheese, you name it was in there. It was all in there. Days. I had to use a steamer to soften it and scrape it out because it caramelizes with the heat. Oh, yeah, it's ridiculous. And I got to.
I knew this was going to touch a nerve.
And
this story was going to get a rise out of you some way.
See, but then I'd want to call the guy because I wanted to say, hey, remember how the shift indicator light didn't light up when you? Yeah, well, I fixed the bulb when I was in there too because it just fell out. So I'll tell him, like, because those are those little annoying things that people don't know how to fix in a car and they live with it. Well. Yeah, we fixed that too. So yeah, that's something I can see both sides of that. I mean, it's the cup holder is made to hold cups. I don't think the intent is that you'll be spilling anything on either side. I don't think they think you will, and I don't think you expect to do it either. And of course, if it was water, it may not be that as big of an issue. Soda is nasty.
You don't expect the water to actually impede in putting the vehicle in and out of gear.
No.
I mean, that's a poor design.
I mean, there's electronics everywhere now, so, you know.
It's really the truth. It is really the truth. 516-572-7440. That's the phone number to get a hold of us here at Motormouth Radio.
Funny, you know, you mentioned that, too, because in my FJ, there are two cup holders in the console, and they're pretty big holes. It's over 3 inch. And anything I put in it would just flop around, you know, because they're not deep enough to really capture a container. And I found out that there was actually, from the factory, these rubber inserts that went in there. And when I looked at my daughter's RAV4, she has the inserts. So I took one of hers and I put it right in mine. I said, okay, it fits. And now that rubber insert will hold the bottle or anything very, very well. So
that's odd. Why would Toyota do that? Why would they make irregularly large cup holders and then inserts for them?
Yeah.
What was the versatility idea there?
I don't know, but I ended up buying those inserts online. I got a set of them, and they work. You know, they work perfectly. But yeah, before that, if you put anything in that, it would just flop around. Because, like I said, if they were deeper, yes, it would have maybe captured a bottle more. But if you used a regular water bottle, like, you know, like one of these, like a regular 16-ounce water bottle, way too small in diameter to be held, it would just topple over. So, and I know that people, I mean, I've worked on enough people's cars to see how they treat their cars these days. And I tell you, I think it's different. I think it's gotten worse over the years. People are really slobs. There's cars that came into the shop that the body guy didn't want to go in. He didn't want to go into the car. He was like, oh, smell is like, oh, my God. Yeah, well, everybody's, you know, smoking weed in the cars and God knows what else. And we're all soft interiors. They just absorb everything. And people's cars are really, really disgusting. They are.
I believe it.
You happen to have always a clean car. I run a clean car. But a lot of people don't. And there's a few of them around here. And it is.
Sleeping in the studio next door.
It's pretty bad when you see. But I mean, just the food. I mean, I've seen, you know, tons of just food and crap like that. It's really,
that's what we talk about, crumb-free food. You need crumb-free food to eat in your vehicle.
Let's see if we have a crumb-free caller. We'll go to the phones and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, Ray, Chris, it's Glenn.
Hey, Glenn, how are you?
What's up, Glenn?
Yeah, cars are for driving, not for eating.
Well, you know, Glenn, of course, your car, you know, your Camaro, I'm sure, you know, it's like mine. It doesn't have cup holders and all that good stuff.
No, it doesn't. I was just looking at that.
But what about the family cars that are
used? Of course, yeah. In fact, I'm doing car cleaning now. but it's not bad. We normally just have drinks, but nowadays you have a drink that's a water bottle with a cap.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And usually just water, not soda. Soda is real bad, as we all know. That would probably rip apart. That's corrosive in a way.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I'm going to clean all the window tracks and just keep dreaming about parts to buy and things.
There you go.
To replace and repair. So I've been doing that, but I'm just looking at, speaking of wheels, my steering wheel is original, and it's got like the, it's like a Bakelite material. In other words, the rim and then the crossbody of it, I guess what would be the spoke, where the horn assembly's on.
Right.
So anyway, I was like, I've been looking into wanting to buy one. I said, maybe I'll go a little smaller. I think this is 16 inches for this stock wheel.
Okay.
And this is on the 69 Camaro, right?
Yeah, yes. Mm-hmm. Measure it
right,
now.
Yeah. Okay.
15, it's actually left to right across the horn buttons. It's 16. It's a big wheel.
Okay.
But that was part of my thinking. You mentioned all the sizing things, like much like the tires and rims. It's a big decision to make something. You don't want to buy something that's not going to be right.
Right.
Well, Glenn, what's wrong with the wheel? Is it cracking?
I'll send you a picture. Across the top of the, if you're looking down, it's probably from sun damage over the years. And it's also, 52 years old now?
Yeah. Sure, it's cracked.
It cracked completely. What's bad, obviously your hands are on that. And that's what I'm thinking is eventually your fingers may or may not get caught in it.
Oh.
And it's a rough edge.
Yeah,
sure is.
Well, you know, you could go in there and grind down the edges, you know, fillet them down and use an epoxy to fill that. And that's how they restore steering wheels. But you know what?
Yes.
There's so many wheels on the market, you know, for an older car.
Yeah,
you'll find some.
Speaking of like maybe a grant much like the car, like tire and rim package, wheel and tire package, there's a lot of decisions you got to make. Whether or not what you're looking for will fit what you have in the steering column, the horn assembly.
Right.
So that's on my list of things to do.
And it's kind of odd because you've had that car a long time and it still has the stock wheel. That's usually one of the first things that gets changed.
I know. Never happened.
Right, right. Thanks.
I'd keep the stock wheel. I'm sorry. I like the stock wheel. And I know exactly which one it is, and I think they're fine. Yeah, epoxy it up, paint it, call it a day.
Yeah, it's all black, and it looks nice in a way, but it's not functional. So.
You know, you have, like me, you have the smaller column that doesn't take the big wheel, the big hub on the wheel. We both have those smaller, earlier GM columns. I would go with a wheel, kind of like what I did with my own car. You know, you could either go with a wood or I went with a black rim, but I went with just a three-spoke stainless steel design, something that's kind of timeless. You know, it just kind of, it doesn't look out of place. It doesn't, it's not crazy custom.
Right. It's not like over the top. It fits the overall look of the interior. I like the comfort grip, the Chevy. I think it's, I don't know the exact part number, NK1 comfort grip. It's overall nice. It has stainless steel for the what I'll call like the spoke parts. But still, you got to get the horn assembly if you want the bow ties or the Chevy emblem, whatever.
Yeah, well, if you buy I bought mine through one of the repo resto places that I deal with for Pontiac stuff, and the wheel came as a kit. So it came with the horn kit installation. And I'll tell you the funniest thing, when the car was in the body shop, the horn button would clip on to the, to the horn assembly, that little disc. And it was, sometimes it would pop off. Sometimes it would just pop off and fall in my lap. All right, so I'd put it back on, no big deal. When it was in the body shop, it must have popped off, and the spring went somewhere. So I figured, all right, one of the days I took the button and I wrapped it up in paper towel, I put it in the console, and I said, I'll find. I've now torn the car apart and have not found the spring. I have 3 Grant horn kits at home that I said, good, I'll just take a spring out of one of these. None of them have the spring in it. So I think
it's got to be somewhere unless it out of the car. Which
it might have
seemed likely.
I did. I was looking through some other junk, Chris. I was doing what you recommend. I was looking for other stuff about a week ago. Not a week ago.
Always
a month ago.
Look for something else. You'll find what you were.
Yeah, you'll find it at some point.
I asked Doug in the UD if he might have had one of these springs. He goes, I know exactly what you mean. It's kind of pyramid shaped. It's a light tension. Yeah, that's the one. And he's like, yeah, there's one here somewhere. Well, I turned one up. In my pile of crap, but I haven't put it in yet, so I don't know. We'll see if it works. But yeah, Glenn, the possibilities are pretty much endless for stuff like that.
Oh yeah, like sure. It's over the top with the amount of parts that are out there. Hopefully, what you're looking for is in fact ordered, or unavailable at the moment, which seems to be sometimes. Like you've got your previous goal with the tires,
right? Right.
And that happens. It's now you got to wait.
Right.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens, but. That's my next thing is maybe the steering wheel and then moving on to other things that I just need to fix.
Well, now you just did some suspension work, right? You did some suspension. Yeah. How'd that,
yeah, we talked about the rear, I guess what would be the OEM spring that's in the pocket on the actual body of the car.
Right.
And I went with the poly kit that came with the Hotchkiss kit.
Right.
I thought it was the overall... Well, it's better than the old stuff, obviously. Again, 50-something-year-old.
That's right.
I'm assuming it was original. I can't notice any particular, let's say, like that would attribute to a bad ride. Getting back to what's done now, yeah, lower profile tires, 17-inch rims, a stiffer spring. Of course the car is going to be a little more tight, it feels it when you're driving around, which is what you want.
Oh, yeah.
The body doesn't move when you... get on it, the car moves. In other words, it'll go if the wheels break loose a little bit.
What size tires are you running on the front?
The front, I believe, hang on. What are they?
We're in the garage.
I am in the garage. That's where I have my radio and all that. The front are 225, 45, 17s.
Okay, so that's a pretty good height. Yeah, you're okay.
I matched it up to pretty much go with the original, well, not the original, because those were rally rims, but they were 15s, and I wanted the same, in other words, diameter tire as well as width.
Right, right.
And I bought them online, sight unseen, hoping everything would work, and so far so good, no rubbing. The back,
good.
I did radius those, the actual wheel well, but, the car is not a show car.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to use that tool if you got nice paint.
Right.
It will crack.
Yeah, definitely.
So I just went for it. I don't have any problems in the back, and so far so good.
Excellent.
So we'll see what happens as I keep moving along fixing the front end is next, but now we got good weather.
Yep.
I'll hopefully get on this pretty soon. Get those coil springs in there. That's next.
Yeah, sounds good, Glenn. And keep us up on that as you do it, please.
Yeah, I'll send you some photos. I'm going to get the cleaning. Good to hear from you guys. We'll talk to you.
Okay, Glenn.
Whenever.
All right.
Call in next time. We'll see you whenever.
Very good. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Glenn.
All right.
So long.
So long. Oh, Chris, something I just noticed in my notes that I had here that you're going to need to know about because we're all going to need to know about it. Yeah, there's this is the WHPC is getting back to its fundraising events that we curtailed for the last couple of years. I have a note that I had printed out that said next week we were preempted. This is on the 27th. We were preempted for actually Jewish Talk. We'll be doing a 2-hour from 8:30.
Cut the new.
The free. Actually, no, I'm sorry. He'll be doing it in the morning. Then Free For All will be from 10 to 1. That's Rob.
Oh.
So as of the, I just asked Kim and she thinks that's right, but I will double check this. And for you listening, if you tune in and hear music next week, you'll know that's what it is. Rob's show is preempting us. And then we, as per this schedule, we do a 2-hour on Sunday, April 4th, which is a couple weeks away. So I'll certainly
2 hours of nonstop Motor Mouth Radio. Wowie kazowie. That's going to be a lot of fun.
I hope that's a week we have something to talk about. Because,
yes,
like last
we
week,
better.
We could have done 2 hours last week without even losing stride, so who knows? We'll find out. But that's how it works around here, so we'll know. But, I urge people, check out the updates on the website. We got another caller. Let's see who we have here. Let's go to the phones and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, guys, this is Justin from Gasser.
Hey, Justin, what's happening?
How are you?
Oh, another day of fun, man. I think that two-hour show is going to be a good one.
Yeah, we've done them before, and you kind of hunker down. It's we're doing a fundraising thing, so we have to, you know, do the it's the Jerry Lewis. Chris has to put his Jerry Lewis suit on, and we have to. He's asking for money, but yeah, you know, it's all in a day's work. So what's happening up in Michigan?
Oh, just lots of stuff. Hey, that was kind of funny. You guys were talking about the specialty tools last week.
Oh yeah,
and sure enough, on Friday, I was tearing apart a Holley carb.
Okay.
Found two of them clutch head screws.
On a 4160. That's right. It's a number five clutch head. That's correct.
Yeah. I sympathize with you, Jess. I know what you're talking about.
And those suckers can be tight. They can be in there really good.
Yeah.
Oh, they can, man.
Yeah.
You know, luckily, we were able to find another bit to make it work.
I misspoke on the show where I said you'd probably find nothing else that would fit that. And when I did some research when I got home, I looked up, I think it was maybe even in a Wikipedia page, the article's on Motormouth Radio if you want to read it. They said when they designed that bit back in the 40s, they designed to set a straight slot screwdriver could be used in place of the correct tool. And
really?
Yeah, because if you look at it like you had that dual butterfly or like the figure eight, so a straight slot could go across either of those diagonals. And I said, wow, that's even more inventive than I thought it was. I never knew that. So,
and that's we ended up using.
There you go. Yeah. So what's Chris? You got to check out some of Justin's work. You got to go to Justin. What's the website for the shop?
Tell me, Justin.
We got a couple of on Facebook. There, it's American Gasser Hot Rod Shop. We're American Gasser on Instagram as well. We're posting quite a few stuff. We had a couple cool projects lately. One of our customers we built a race car for. He just got to unveil it this weekend, so that's all up over our pages.
Yeah. Some really, really cool stuff. I mean,
I've seen this site. Yes, very good. Yeah, I'm on the American Gasser site now. Nice stuff.
Yeah, if you see that in PAL, you'll see some of Justin's handiwork on that exhaust system, which was handmade and phenomenal.
Justin, I'm looking at the site now, and all these the six pictures you have of all these classic cars in different stages of restoration, there's a PT Cruiser in there too.
Right.
Can you explain yourself, sir?
Yes, we typically we don't work on that kind of car, but this couple come to us. They've owned the car since it was brand new, and they always decided that when they retired the car from being daily driven, they wanted to do something with it. And so they got with us, and we kind of concocted a scheme that we're putting a 5.7 Hemi in this PT Cruiser, making it kind of what Chrysler should have done.
That is hysterical. Holy smokes. I'm looking at the pictures now. You got this thing filleted.
Well, yeah.
It was a lot of work. I mean, we built a whole structure for it. A front cam member that's removable, so you can still service the car. But yeah, it's in body and paint now. So hopefully within the next few weeks, we'll be pushing it in the booth and be having a lot of fun with it this next summer.
Oh,
Justin, this thing is intense. This is intense. I think,
I really think about it. You got to rebuild the whole car because now you need traditional engine, transmission, rear end, which that vehicle didn't come with. And, you know, I mean, there's a whole architecture there that's being redone, which is a lot of work.
Now, Justin, it's going to go back together, and it's like almost to the point where you're not going to have a clue that there's a Hemi in this thing standing like 10 feet away, I'm assuming, right? They want the ultimate sleeper.
Yeah, it's going to look like a PT Cruiser with some nice paint and a little bit of a body kit and some nice wheels. But start to look at it, you're going to wait a second. Something's up here.
That is so cool. I love it. Good work.
Yeah, it's one of our more wild projects. Hopefully be taking that to our Detroit Autorama next year.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, hopefully that's once it's together, if they don't get really spirited and wrap it around a pole. Yeah, you
know, right.
Hopefully not. Yeah, because that's a lot of engine for not a lot of car. So,
Right. I mean, it's not even a crazy Hemi. I mean, that's probably 400 horse.
Still,
sure, yeah.
But it's a lot for that car. I mean, you're talking three times the amount of horsepower the car would have had.
Is there a plan to do something with suspension and brakes as well?
Oh, yeah, we went through it already. It's got QA1 coilovers all around. We did a 4-link 9-inch in the back. Willwood disc brakes all around. It's okay. It's set up pretty well.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. No, that's going to be cool.
It's just comical when you look at the website and you see like a 28 Ford three-window coupe. You see a 66, 67 Chevelle there. There's another Gasser coupe. There's an Oldsmobile, a blue Oldsmobile. Yeah. There's a 67 Cougar. And then there's this PT Cruiser there. Right. It sticks out like a sore thumb.
Well, that's a testament of a good shop when people from all different walks will bring their projects there to be worked on. That's
very true.
That's very cool. Very cool.
It's even got a sunroof, no less.
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah. And we're going to put as much of the factory interior in it as we can. Like I said, you're going to sit in the car, and it's going to feel like your old 04 PT Cruiser.
Wow.
That's amazing. Wow. That is amazing. I would love to see that thing finished. You definitely got to call us up, Justin. Let us know what I mean, any project that you have that you want to talk about, by all means, we're all ears. But that is definitely, that's one that takes the cake for sure.
Well, we have to head for the Autorama next year.
Oh, yeah. You know? Not too far away.
No.
That is
cool.
Very cool.
All right. So is the weather participating with you up there today, Justin? Is it nice there as it is here today?
A little bit.
Okay.
We got a couple days of rain kind of washing that muddy grime you guys are talking about off the roads and off the cars. And
right.
We got to get them out and get them cleaned.
Right. Yeah, nice.
But at least it's sunny.
Good, yeah, that's good. We're all getting a little bit of that, which is very nice. I know Lewis Lee got a few more windows in the side of his bus in the Schooley project, the bust out Schooley project. So that's cool. Mm-hmm. Everybody's getting work done. It's good to know. Good to know.
Oh, yeah, that bus is turning out great.
It is.
Amazing.
All right, Justin, we got to let you run, because we're at the end of the show. We got to get out of here ourselves, and we'll catch up with you, hopefully, on Thursday night.
Right on.
All right, Justin, we'll see you on the web, and we're looking forward to all your cool posts, because you guys put up some great stuff.
Well, thank you. Great talking to you guys.
All right, Justin, thanks.
Thanks for the call.
All right.
No problem.
All righty, that was Justin from up in, American Gas. They do some cool stuff, as you see. They get some really neat stuff.
Yes. Amazing. Yeah. Hemi in a PT Cruiser.
Yeah.
That is hysterical. I love it.
Phenomenal.
I love stuff like that. That's the type of rodding I dig. Dig it. When you don't see it.
Right.
I love sleepers. I love cars they'll fake you out. That to me is turn on. I like that.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what else turns us on. It's getting out in a nice sun and enjoying the weather like we're going to do today.
Yes.
So we may not be doing this next week because we should be preempted by Rob. I'll check that. I printed that out a while ago. I'll double check. I'll let you know. And then if not, we'll see you in 2 weeks. Motormouth Radio. Chris, what do you always say before we get out of here?
Don't follow us home, but make sure you eat crumb-free stuff in your car.
You got it. All right. For Chris Ray, Motormouth Radio, we'll see you next, maybe next week, maybe not, maybe 2 weeks. See ya. 90.3 WHPC. We're out.
See you, bye.
Bye.